Folks, today's study is number 2 in our series of studies on the gospel of our salvation today in this dispensation of the grace of God in which we live. Now, as we saw in our last study, the gospel of our salvation today is not the gospel of the kingdom which was preached to Israel beginning with John the Baptist and that we find spoken about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the opening chapters of the book of Acts. That gospel of the kingdom pertains to God's program with Israel and is the good news to them about the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on this earth in fulfillment of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants. Once again, that's not the gospel of our salvation today. That's not the gospel God is proclaiming today in this dispensation of His grace. And neither is the gospel of our salvation today the everlasting gospel, spoken about, for example, in Revelation chapter 14, nor is it what you also find in the Bible spoken about as the gospel of the circumcision. God isn't proclaiming either of those gospels today either. No, folks, the gospel of our salvation today is the gospel God gave unto the Apostle Paul to proclaim to us Gentiles when he suspended his program with Israel and raised up Paul to proclaim his good news for us Gentiles. The gospel of our salvation today is the good news that God is mercifully holding back his judgment upon this world, and as he holds it back, he is offering to save anyone from that coming judgment if they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, he died as our substitute redeemer. That is, he died in our place, taking upon himself the debt and penalty of our sins. In doing so, he propitiated or completely satisfied God's perfect justice with respect to our sins. And by so doing, Christ's redemptive work on the cross has made it so that God can completely forgive us our sins and give unto us as an absolutely free gift the perfect righteous standing of justification that we need in order to live forever in His sight. And folks, God will do that very thing, forgive us our sins and justify us unto eternal life, if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is, if we will trust exclusively in Him and His redemptive work on the cross for our salvation. Now folks, that's good news. To hear that God is offering to justify you freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus and to save you from being judged for your sins and your own unrighteousness, that's the best news you could ever hear. It really is. And folks, that's the gospel of our salvation today in this dispensation of God's grace to us. That's the message God is proclaiming to us today. Now, unfortunately, as we saw in our last study, oftentimes, that good news is not what is preached today in the name of evangelism. Instead of being told about the free gift of justification that God is offering, the gospel of Christ is oftentimes perverted, and people are told that faith in Christ as their Savior is not enough. They are told that they need to do something more than just trust in Christ's redemptive work on the cross. For example, oftentimes people are told that they need to also live a life full of good works if they want to have salvation and everlasting life. Or they need to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. Or they need to join a church or partake of sacraments and ceremonies or perform rituals or be water baptized or be confirmed or do some other work or set of works. But folks, when you hear messages like that, you aren't hearing the gospel of the grace of God in truth. You are hearing a perversion of the gospel of Christ. God's offer to justify you freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus is being perverted by the issue of your works being added to God's requirement of simple faith being placed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your all-sufficient Savior. And folks, there's no salvation in messages like that. There's no salvation in perversions of the gospel of Christ. That's why, as we saw last time, Satan wants them preached, and God had the Apostle Paul denounce them. Now, folks, as we look at the gospel of our salvation today, in view of how prevalent perversions of the gospel are today, we need to first of all make sure that we have heard the gospel of God's grace in truth, and that we have believed it and not a perversion. So as we get ourselves underway here now and resume our study on the gospel of our salvation, take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, and let's listen to the gospel of God's grace unto us in Christ Jesus. Take your Bibles, like I said, and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans, once again, is the first epistle of the Apostle Paul for us today in this dispensation of grace. And right off the bat, so to speak, God has the Apostle Paul proclaim the gospel of our salvation today. It begins right here in Romans chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 15. Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now Paul's going to begin to preach the gospel, as he says here. But before he actually begins the preaching of it, he says two very important things about it. First of all, notice in verse 16, he says the gospel of Christ, he says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. First of all, folks, it's important that we recognize that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not your works, not my works, not anything we can do. The gospel, the message that God has about the provision he has made for our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where he's placed his power unto salvation. And that power of God unto salvation is activated, so to speak, in response to faith. Notice that Paul says in verse 16, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Believing is the issue of placing your faith and your confidence in what you hear. And the gospel of Christ is going to come along and describe the work the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us to provide for our salvation and function as our all-sufficient Savior. And when a person places their faith, their trust, their confidence, their complete confidence, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them, that's what activates the power of God unto salvation. And notice in verse 17, Paul will underscore that all the more. He'll make it plain and clear in verse 17 that faith and faith alone is the only thing that'll activate the power of God unto salvation in the gospel. Verse 17, he says, "For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Faith, once again, is the issue. Faith is the only thing God's grace can respond to. And faith is the issue when it comes to activating the power of God unto salvation that's resident in the gospel of Christ. Now, it's important, once again, to understand and appreciate that right from the outset. But now, beginning in verse 18, Paul actually begins to preach the gospel of our salvation today. And I want you to notice that the gospel really has three major parts to it. The first part begins there in verse 18 and runs down through the end of chapter 1. And in the first part of the gospel, what God does is he declares that all men are worthy of receiving his wrath because of their ungodliness, their unrighteousness, and their sinfulness. And that's really how the gospel starts off. It starts off really with bad news, the bad news about all men being worthy of God's wrath. The second part of the gospel begins in verse 1 of chapter 2 and runs all the way through to chapter 3 and verse 20. And in the second part of the gospel, what God proclaims is that nobody can escape being worthy of his wrath by anything they may try to do. And that's an essential thing to understand and appreciate also. Men need to be aware of the fact that there isn't a single thing they can do, a single work they can perform, there isn't anything they have the capacity to do to make themselves worthy of escaping the wrath of God. It really, folks, isn't until you get to the third and final aspect of the gospel, in chapter 3 and verses 21 and down through verse 26, that the good news of the gospel begins to be proclaimed. And, of course, the good news of the gospel is the fact that God even though we aren't able to do anything on our own to affect our own salvation. He has undertaken for us, and he's offering to justify any man freely by his grace through the work his Son has done on the cross to function as our substitute redeemer. Those are the three parts of the gospel of our salvation.